Okay, today's daf is daf Tzadi Aleph. We're going to just review a drop of what we did at the very end, which was we saw from the Mishnah, it said, Yerach Shel Yamin and Yerach Shel Shmod, Gid and Ashez on both sides. Then we saw, this is not like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who said the Gid and Ashez only on one side, and which side? It's the dot noted that it's to the right. And we wanted to know, is he saying that definitively, or is he saying the suffix, we're going to assume it's on the right, but really he doesn't know for sure. And then we brought a source about Pesach and about the Korban Pesach. If you don't eat it in the right time, you have to burn it. And it says you have to burn the Atzamot and the Gidim and the Notar. The Notar is the leftover meat. So the Gemara tries to figure out which Gid is this. It must be the Gid Anasheh. And if it's the Gid Anasheh, then it must be that it's Sipuke Misapkale. Why? Because if it was Mishapshitale, then he would eat the one that's okay and not eat the one that wasn't okay, and then he would just throw out the one that's not okay, and he wouldn't need to burn anything. The whole reason he needs to burn it is because he was supposed to have eaten it and he didn't eat it. So if you say it's Misafek, then it makes a lot of sense because he can't eat the right Gid HaNasheh because he's worried that maybe it's Gid HaNasheh. On the other hand, if it's not Gid HaNasheh, then he has to eat it as part of the Korban Pesach, in which case it becomes notar and he has to burn it. So that was our proof, but then Rav Ika rejected it and said, no, la'olam emalacha mifsha pshitale, and it's talking about a different situation here. Kishehu kruel of asof nitarvu. You have both Gidei HaNasheh together. You knew which one was which. You were sure the right one was Aser, but then they got mixed up together, and then you couldn't identify which was which. And then that's what happened, and that's why he had to leave it over. And again, because right, leaving it over means, number one, you can't eat it, because maybe it's Aser. On the other hand, you have to eat it, so you have to basically leave it over. It's interesting, and we're going to see this in a number of explanations here, that you end up with a case where you're basically the halacha tells you that you should leave something over. Notar is usher. It's usher to leave it over. But because there's some suffix or issue, which we're going to see according to a few different explanations, you leave it over on purpose, even though you're really not allowed to. If you're a member, and we're actually going to get back to it today, we saw this a few days ago, that you don't actually get malkut for the issur of notar because it's a lav. Well, there's two answers. Either because the lav ani tak laaseh, it has a resolution, which is if you don't eat it, you burn it, or because the lav she'en bo maaseh, because you just don't eat something, but it's not actually an act of doing something wrong. So, but it's, even though you don't get malkut, still you would think it's usher, but yet Misafek, we're going to tell you, leave it over. Rav Ashi Amar, so now we're going to have a few other explanations to what this Mishnah is referring to. That maybe this has nothing to do with Gid HaNasheh, okay? Or nothing to do with the actual Gid, maybe something surrounding the Gid. Rav Ashi Amar, lo nitzracha ela lishamno. And by the way, according to all these explanations, it clearly has something to do with Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we're now off track a little bit. He says, the case is that it was the shuman, the fat that was around the Gid HaNasheh. Titania, there's a machloket about the shuman, shamno mutar, v'Yisrael kedoshim nehagubo isur. So according to this braita, the fat of the around the Gid HaNasheh is allowed, however, midirabanan, the Jews forbade it. So now, what happens? Now it makes a lot of sense according to this. Again, it doesn't make perfect sense, you'll see why. But what does it mean? The atzamot and the gidim. So the gidim mean the shuman around the gidim, which mida oraita is not forbidden to eat. If mida oraita is not forbidden to eat, then you should be eating it with part of the Korban Pesach. However, mida rabana nahagubo isur, in which case now you can't eat it, in which case you have to leave it over and then burn it. Which again seems strange from a durabana, and this is why it's a little difficult. Because of a minhag derabana, you know, the Yisrael were nohig not to eat it. Now, when it comes to eating Korban Pesach and they have a chiyuv to eat it, right? We tell them, right, you can't, which is interesting.
How can a minhag overrule?
Right. So, first of all, how can? Yes, it does. Okay, this is a good proof that a minhag can actually overrule halacha. Okay, and first of all, it's once you have a minhag, to then break it here and there would be complicated in a sense, right? Because then people say, oh, well, you eat it at Pesach, maybe you could eat it in general. So you could see why that would happen. But yeah, this shows the strength of minhag, okay? Okay, next case, which is going to be similar. Ravina Amar, he gives a different explanation. Lo nitzracha ela lechidi Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. It was needed for, this Mishnah is referring to, what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shnei gidin him, pnimi samuch le'etzem, asur, v'chayavin alav. Chitzon samuch le'basar, asur ve'en chayavin alav. There's two gidim, okay, you can look if you have the Schottenstein. In the Koran, it actually appears on today's daf. The Schottenstein has it in the very beginning of the parak. It's basically the same picture, or very similar. There's two gidim, okay? According to this, one is samuch to the basar, one is close to the meat, and one is close to the bone. Okay, so, and there's a machloket, you can see from the picture, there's a machloket between minhag teman, whether the gid hachitzon goes all the way down to the bottom, or whether it's this other gid that's an upper part. There's like a debate about all the distinctions, where exactly it is. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but so there's a pnimi and a chitzoni. So the pnimi is up against the bone. That one's the gid that's forbidden. But the chitzon is more closer to the meat that's around the bone, right? So that's already further out. That's why it's called the chitzon. That's asur ve'en chayavin alav. Okay, so that is only asur midurabanan. So again, you could say that what's it referring to? It's referring to the chitzon, which is only asur midurabanan, and then again, you have the same thing, which is, on the one hand, you're supposed to eat it because it's only asur midurabanan, midoraita, you're supposed to eat as part of Pesach, but midurabanan, it's asur, and therefore they couldn't eat it, and therefore they would leave it over. And again, in all these situations, you have a situation where you create a notar situation, lechatchila almost, right? It's a little strange. Okay, Tashma. So now we're going back to trying to figure out whether Rabbi Yehuda is misupak about his opinion or is vadai that it's the right side. So here comes our next source. Achal mizek kezayit umizek kezayit sofeg shmonim. Okay, this is a case where he has two, he has two pieces of meat from two different animals, two gidim from two different animals.
This just says the right and the left.
Oh, so then that's the next case. Okay, I wasn't sure. Fine. So he eats both sides. Okay, eats a kezayit, right? That's the next case. This is where he eats a kezayit of the right and the left. Sofeg shmonim. So according to Tanakama, he gets 80 lashes because both sides are forbidden, and he ate a kezayit of each. Rabbi Yehuda Omeri no sofeg ela arba'im. He gets 40. Now, iyamar bishlama mifsha pshita le shapir. We actually saw this whole thing. Right? If you say it's obvious to him, then it makes sense. Why does it make sense? Because then, right?
One side is
one, for sure, one side. Okay, but we're going to see, right, what's the issue here. Ela iyamar tzipuke, right? And then what happens? He gets a warning for the right side. Right? They say, you know, if you eat this, you're going to be over on Gid and Asher. And he says, yes, I know, and I'm going to do it anyway. He gets lashes. But Ela iyamar tzipuke misapkale, then what happens? Before he eats it, they say, do you know that if you eat this, this might be the one that's asur? Right? And you know, and before the other one, you know, if you eat it, this might be the one that's asur. We saw this on Pebet. Havile hatra'at safek vishaminan le. The Rabbi Yehuda damar hatra'at safek lo shma hatra'ah. And this goes, right, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that hatra'at safek is not a hatra'ah, in which case he shouldn't get any lashes, even though he definitely ate it. He didn't have a proper warning beforehand, because his warning was a safek warning. How do we know, now we're going to have a total repeat of the sugya we saw on Pebet, which is how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds hatra'at safek is not hatra'ah? Ditanya, here's a guy who's hitting a person who, there's two people, one is his father, one isn't, he's not sure which is which. Right. Again, we discussed, right, well, how could you not recognize your father? Either it's a suffix who his father is, right, or maybe he just, you know, they're blindfolded on and he can't see
heat
their faces. What?
Heat of the battle.
Right, exactly. Titania, or maybe he's blind, I don't know. He kaidze v'chazar v'hikaidze. Kileletze v'chazar v'kileletze. So if he hits one and then the other, or curses one and then the other, he kashnehem v'batachat, or he hits them both at the same time, or he curses them at exactly the same time, chayav. Either which way is chayav. Rabbi Yehuda omer, bevatachat chayav, v'zeachar zeh patur. But Rabbi Yehuda says, only if he does it both at the exact same time, because then the warning was right before his action. But if he does one and then the other, then each warning is only going to be a suffix warning, and therefore, it's not going to work. So here you have Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So how can you explain that then? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't make sense, right? So, right, in other words, again, what doesn't make sense? It makes sense only if it was mifshapshitale, but not if it was sipuke misapkale. So now they say, oh no, you could still say, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was sipuke misapkale. How does it work with the hatra'at safek? Exactly what we saw in the other daf, which is hai tana savala ke'idach tana Rabbi Yehuda. There's two versions of what Rabbi Yehuda held about hatra'at safek. And this Tana of this Braita holds, or maybe it's a Mishnah. Is it a Mishnah? I don't remember. It's a Tosefta. The author of this Tosefta holds like the other Rabbi Yehuda, who holds, and it's not the other Rabbi Yehuda, it's the same Rabbi Yehuda. It was just different, there were different views of what Rabbi Yehuda held on this topic. And this Braita holds like the other Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Damar, Hatra Atzafek Shema Hatra. How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds, according to a different version, that Hatra'at Safek is Hatra'a? Titania lototiru mimenu aboker ba katuv liten ase achar lo tase lomar she'en lo kin alav. Right? Notar. What's the case of notar? It's an ase after a lo tase, meaning you can, right? You're not supposed to leave it over. That's the lo tase. But if you do, you burn it. So it has a resolution. In which case, you don't get malchut for that reason, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And if Rabbi Yehuda held Hatra'at Safek lo shma Hatra'ah, then this would be a case of Hatra'at Safek, because when are you over on notar? Well, only when the morning hits and you haven't eaten it. But when is somebody has to warn you every minute of the day, basically, right? And you'd have to be warned at the very last second. And here, obviously, right, we're not talking about that situation. And therefore, you don't get malkot, but not because of Hatra'at Safek, but because of a lavani taklase. By the way, there's a bit of a strange proof, because it could be it's both. You know, in other words, it's more likely from the first source seems like a better proof of what he really holds. But anyway, they seem to prove from here. And just to bring the dissenting opinion there, Rabbi Yaakov Omer Lomer Hashem Uzeh, it's not for that reason. Ela Mishum Dahava Lav She'en Bo Maaseh. V'chol Lav She'en Bo Maaseh Ein Lokin Alav. The other reason is because there's no act. You just don't do something. But it's that you don't eat. It's not that you do eat something that's forbidden. And therefore, you don't get Malka for it. So two different reasons why you don't get Malka, but either which way, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say it's because it's a hatra'at safek. Okay, so that was our second attempt to prove what Rabbi Yehuda holds about the right side. Is it vadai or is it safek? And again, we couldn't prove it. Here comes our third proof. Achal shnei gidim b'shtei rechot, mishtei behemot. Now he eats two different gidim. Okay, the assumption is he eats the right gid of each of the two yerecha. Okay, he eats the right gid from two behemot. Sofeg shmonim. Right, according to Tanakama, for sure you get 80 because you ate two giran ashes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eino sofeg ela arba'im. You only get 40. Mitaka amar, shtei rechot mishtei behemot, pshita ditravayu liyisura. Okay, so from the fact that it's two yerechot from two behemot, it's obvious that we mean the usher side. There wasn't just a right and a left, but it was both the right. Ula Rabbi Yehuda itzrich. And this was brought to tell you the chidush of Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, it wasn't so needed for Chachamim, that would be obvious. But the chidush is according to Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to see soon what exactly the chidush is. Shmamina, so what can we infer from here? Mifsha pshitale. It must be obvious because again, okay, going back to, right, if it wasn't obvious to him, then again, it would be hatra'at safek and we'd have that issue. So therefore, it must be that it's obvious to him that it's the right, and that's why you get Malka. Ooh. Now we're... Yafet. So, Ip shitale amai sofeg arba'im v'tulo lilke shmonim. If it's definitely obvious to him and he ate a gib from one animal and a gib from another animal, both on the right, and it's for sure that the right is the problem, then he should get 8. So something doesn't make sense here. So what do they explain? Hacha b'maya skinan, kigon de lepo kezayit. By the way, if you notice, the last source said, achal mizek kezayit u mizek kezayit. This doesn't say anything about a kezayit. It just says you ate the gid on one yerech and the gid on the other yerech. So the assumption is that you ate the gid, but each gid didn't have a kezayit in it. Detanya, now what happens? If it doesn't have a kezayit, but you eat a gid anyway, are you chayev or not? So there's a machlok at Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim. Achlo ve'ein bo kezayit chayav. According to Tanakama, you ate an entire gid. It doesn't matter. This is like we've talked about bugs, right? It's a whole bria. You ate the entire gid. Doesn't matter that it didn't have a kezayit. You're chayav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad sheyeh bo kezayit. Okay, it has to have a kezayit. And therefore, since it has to have a kezayit, what happened here? Rabbi Yehuda says you're only chayav 40 because you only were over on it when you ate both gidim together, and through that you got to a kezayit. So you wouldn't be chayav otherwise, whereas Tanakama holds each one you're chayav on, in which case you're going to get 80, even though each one didn't have a kezayit. And that's the machloka between them there, and that explains why it was only 40, and from there you can infer that he knows for sure, and that's why you get malka for it. V'tamamai, now what's the reason that if we're going to now assume that it's mifshap shitale, so where does he get it from? Right? And that's, we said it comes from the Torah, but where? Amarava, Amarkra, the Pasuk says, hayerech, al-kaf hayerech. It doesn't say al-kaf yerech, it says al-kaf the yerech. So what does it mean, the yerech? Hamiyumenet shebiyerech, right? The better one. Right is always the more, the better one. V'rabanan, what do Rabbanan do with ha-yerech? Ha-hu depashet yisura b'kule yerech, sorry. Ha-hu depashet yisura b'kule yerech lafuke chitzon delo. This one is the one where it's isur is in the entire yerech, as opposed to the chitzon, which doesn't, in other words, they're trying to say which yerech is the one, you know, which gid is the one. It's the pnimi and not the chitzon, because the chitzon doesn't go through the whole leg. Okay? The chitzon is a shorter one, and that's why the chitzon is not asher min haTorah, because ha yerech means goes through the whole yerech. Okay? So therefore, the pnimi is the one that goes through the entire yerech. You can look at the picture. It goes from the top, right from the pelvis, all the way down. Whereas the chitzon is only part way. Again, then we have a machloket. Which part way? Is it the top part or the bottom part? That depends on whether you hold the Ashkenazi or the Temani way.
Do you think it's because they got confused? Because the Torah specifically says Gid HaNashe. It doesn't say Gid HaChitzon.
So no, like, but both are called Gid HaNashe. The question is, which is...
So you think it's because maybe they got confused in the anatomy, like when they were opening it up, maybe different animals had it going different ways?
You're talking about Ashkenaz and Teman?
Or no, I'm wondering in general.
Why there's a pnimi and a chitzoni?
Yeah, why don't they just call the whole,
Wouldn't they just say both are usher?
Yeah.
So according to this drasha, again, whether they learn it from the drasha or not, you know, it's that there's gid hayerech, you know, akaf hayerech. There's only one, and it's the one that goes from the top to the bottom. That, and it's, obviously it's not clear to them, right? It's not clear from the Torah, if there's two gidim, and it says the gid, right? The gid that's on kaf hayerech, so how are you supposed to know which one? So the assumption is, I assume they took the one that was closer to the bone, right? The one that's closer to the meat is already more outer, that's why it's called the outer one. But the pnimi is really the inner one, which would be the more logical. I mean, I don't know, in terms of where he attacked him, maybe not. Maybe the outer one would be more likely he attacked him there.
Easier to injure the outer.
But I think they mean like the one that's right near the yerech. So that's the one that's closer to the bone. And that's why they chose that one. You know, again, I assume all this was probably passed down by Masoret also, especially right, they're constantly eating meat. They were taking out the ghee. You know, it could be, unless they weren't having meat that was anywhere near the ghee, you know, and doing different cuts. Anyway, it's not 100% clear. Okay. Birab Yeshua ben Levi Amar. Amar Kra. Behe av ko imo. Okay, now we're going to start with all sorts of drashot. Okay, how, first of all, this is also, where do we get it that it was the right one? Okay, so here's another proof. We had it was the right one because it's Hamiyumen et Sheviyarech. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, Amar Kra Behe av ko imo. Behe av ko, they learn as Yukadarshan Behich av ko. Instead of Behe av ko, you could switch the Aleph with a Chet, even though we usually switch a Hey with a Chet, not usually an Aleph. But Behe av ko is like Behich av ko, and he hugged him. Okay? So Amar Kra, here, pass the, I don't have it, fine. The Koran has a good picture of two men hugging each other, like a wrestling hug, okay? If you think of a wrestling hug, okay, you can imagine it. Ke'adam shechovek et chavero. Now, when you hug someone opposite you, where does your right hand end up? Your right hand goes around him to the other side and gets to his right leg, okay? So therefore, right, imagine you're opposite a person, your right hand gets to his right leg. So he says, "V'yadomaga l'kaf yimino shel chavero," and that's why he must have attacked his right. Okay, that's one way of seeing what happened. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar, okay, now the next two sources are going to say, when Yaakov saw the angel coming toward him, this is like Avram, when he saw the angels, he thought they were people. Right? So when Yaakov saw the angels, he thought the angel coming, he thought he was a person. The question is, what kind of person did he think it was? So according to the first explanation here, we're going to say he thought he was an Ovei Kochavim Nidmelo. He assumed he was some non-Jew. Now, non-Jews, we always have to be suspicious of them, right? And that's the Gemara terminology, right? They were suspect characters. Damar mar Yisrael shenitfalo Ovei Kochavim Baderech. We actually saw this before. Tofloli Yimino. You should always walk on his right. Because if you're on his right, then, you should put him on your right side. Okay? You should walk to his left. Because if you're on his right side, then if he goes to attack you, your right hand is right there to block. So now, assuming, now we're going to say, instead of them being opposite each other, they were next to each other, Yaakov was on the right side, so when the angel attacked him, he attacked the side that was closest to him, and that was the right side. Rav Shmuel bar Acha kamei de Rav Papa mishmei de Rav bar Ula amar, ki talmi chacham nidmelo. He thought he was a talmi chacham. Okay, I'm sure there were lots of talmidei chachamim floating around in those days. Again, this is a good way of the rabbis viewed, right? They kind of take their life where there's, you know, there's different categories of people. There's Ovdei Kochavim that they're scared of, you know, and then there's Ovdei Talmidei Chachamim that they have a lot of respect for. So they say, oh, he looked like he was a Talmid Chacham, Damar Mar. And then why did he go on the left side of him and not the right? Hama'alech liyamim rabo hareze bor. You're not allowed to go on the yamin of your rabbi. The way I understand this wasn't 100% clear to me, but I think that if you're to the yamin of your rabbi, if you go to the yamin, it looks like you're the right hand guy, and he's supposed to be the guy on the right, and it's not respectful for you to go on the right. The Rabbanan and the Rabbanan say, and that's because again, this is all how did it get to the right side? This is all obviously all through Rabbi Yehuda's viewpoint. How did it get to the left side? How do we get to both sides? So Rabbanan said, "Mechore ata." He came from behind him. Vinashi b'travayi, when he attacked him in both. Okay, and that's why it's both sides. Okay, so all different versions about how exactly the battle happened, and almost maybe how. Right, I think that whether he was a Talmid Chacham or whether he was an Ovei Kochavim, maybe is also an indicator of how prepared Yaakov was for the battle. If he was an Ovei Kochavim, so you could, right, and he's going to be on the guy's left, you can see he's already kind of ready for attack and for defense. But if he thinks he's a Talmid Chacham, then he thinks he comes in peace, and then he wasn't prepared at all. So maybe also you could see that those are different approaches as to what Yaakov, what he was thinking when he went into battle with the angel, and what his, you know, whether he was prepared or not prepared. Which is interesting in light of, you know, he obviously came very prepared for battle when he went to meet Esav. But maybe by this point, he wasn't so prepared anymore, right? He kind of loosened up and wasn't really, was caught off guard. Or maybe he thought he was in Ovei Kochavim and he was still in that mode of stress that I'm going to be attacked. And I mean, I don't know what the relevance would be, but just in terms of, you know, what was going on in his mind. Okay. Rabbanan, hi behav ko my darshebe. Now, if you don't have behav ko, that was behichab ko, that he hugged him. So then what do you do with behav ko? Mibai lelechi idach de Rabbi Yosho ben Levi. He uses it for a different statement that Rabbi Yosho ben Levi made, which was, interesting that these were both made in the name of Rabbi Yosho ben Levi. Rabbi Yosho ben Levi said it was behichab ko, but he also says this drasha, da'am Rabbi Yosho ben Levi melamed shehelu avak margalotam ad kisei kavod. Okay, this is one of those statements about the importance of this fight between them, that the dust of their feet, we go back to the afar and the afer and all that, right? This is avak, but it's similar. The dust from their feet went all the way up to the kisei kavod, meaning that this battle had long-lasting influence, you know, up in the Shemayim. Again, what kind of influence and what this meant that it went up to Shemayim is, you know, also a matter of debate, whether this was that it will last forever, this fight between them, or that God will ultimately come to save the Jewish people because, you know, the Avah came up. Different approaches. K'tiv ha'cha behav ko'imo u'k'tiv ha'tam va'anan avak raglav. Okay, now they quote this pasuk from Nahum, Hashem erech apayim, u'tal koach, God's way is with a big storm. Ba'anan avak raglav. Okay, and the anan is the dust of his feet. So there we see, this is where we get the connection between avak, dust, and behe'avko, and struggle. Ba'amar Rishu ben Levi, another statement he makes. Lama nikrashmo gid hanasheh? Where did they get this gid hanasheh term? Shenasha mimkomo va'ala. It jumped out of its place and went up. Okay, in other words, the gid when he fought with him, the Gid kind of jumped out of its place and went up. V'chenu omer, how do we know that nasha means to jump? You're not going to like this pasuk. Nishteh gvurotam hayu l'nashim. Okay, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. I'll read the beginning. You'll see, chadlu giborei bavel lihilachem, yashru b'msodot. In other words, the giborim stopped having power, basically. Nashta gvurotam, the gvurotam jumped out of place, basically. Hayu l'nashim, they were like women, okay, weaklings. Amar Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, mai dechtiv, davar shalach b'Yaakov, v'nafal b'Yisrael. Okay, now here they mean davar, usually means like something was said to Yaakov, and in nafal b'Yisrael, but here they're going to say, davar shalach b'Yaakov ze gid hanashe. The thing was thrust onto Yaakov, that was the gid hanashe, meaning that this, you know, kind of happened to Yaakov, v'nafal b'Yisrael, shapashat Yisro b'chol Yisrael. And because of that, all the Jews now keep it. It's interesting because Pashat Isuro is generally something we talk about when a minag takes hold, it's Pashat Isuro. Here, though, it's the Torah told us that, but it's saying basically there was this Davar Shalach B'Yaakov and then Nafal B'Yisrael. It's, by the way, it's a Nevuah in I think it's Yeshayahu. Yeah, it's in Yeshayahu Perek Tet, and it's in the context of, like, it's so obvious, you know, this was given to Yaakov and Nafal B'Yisrael, and why are you not keeping to things? But that's the context. Ba'am Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, Mai dechtiv utuvoach tavach v'hachen. Okay, where's this pasuk? You remember this? Okay, this is with Yosef and his brothers. Vayar Yosef itam et Binyamin. When they come with Binyamin, right, they still don't know who he is. Vayomer la'asher al beito. He says to the guy in charge of his household, Haveh tanashim abayta. Utivach tevach, and you should slaughter animals for them. Vehachen, and prepare it. Ki iti yochlu anashim b'tzoraim, because they're going to eat with me. Now, why so many words about how to prepare the meat? Obviously, because he had to tell them how to prepare it in a kosher manner. So, tevach tevach is para lehem beit hashchita. He showed them the exact place where you're supposed to do the shchita. Vehachen, what's vehachen? Tol gid hanasheh b'fnehem. Okay, take out the Gid Anasheh, and this is Kamanda Amar, Gid Anasheh Nesar Lebnei Noach. Which again, whether you explain that as everybody, right, and then basically they were, you know, remember, he had to not reveal who he was. So if he knew they were Jews, you know, then it would be tricky if he started saying about this Gid Anasheh, so maybe everyone was doing it, or it's just showing that the Jews had to do it even before Matan Torah. Vayivater Yaakov Levado. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shenishtayer, okay, so before we even get to this, what's the problem in this pasuk, Vayivater Yaakov Levado? He crossed over with everybody, and then all of a sudden it says he was left by himself. Ma pitom, he was left by himself. So what do they say? Amar Rabbi Elazar, we're now going to have Agada Tot about this whole story, and even we're going to get from here to the story of the Malachim Olim V'Yordim Basulam. Okay, we're going to have both the stories of Yaakov, all sorts of drashot about them. It's both stories that involve angels. There's other stories with him that involve angels also. We'll get into all of them. Amar Rabbi Elazar shenishtayer al pachim ktanim. This is interesting. He went back to get a few small pachim, flasks. Okay? In other words, he brought over things, but they had all this stuff with them, and there were a few things left, and he went back to get them. Mikam letzadikim shechaviv alehem mamonam yoter migufam. This is quite an interesting line. Okay? From here you learn, we're going to learn all sorts of things about Talmidei Chachamim today. From here you learn that Talmidei Chachamim care more about their property than their bodies. What does this mean? He was willing to risk his life to go back to get these few pachim ktanim. V'kol kach lama, why is this? L'fi she'em poshtim yidehem begezel. Since they don't steal, so therefore they need all their stuff. They can't waste anything because, you know, they need, right, it's a little bit of an odd, it's a little bit of a difficult, you know, to say that they care so much about material items seems odd. Obviously, he took a risk, you know, and he thought it wasn't such a big risk, which obviously turned out to be a big risk.
He understands that Malach would have found him one way or the other.
That's also true. But again, this is part of, and you're going to see in this sugya, they're going to have this whole thing about how to try to avoid situations, getting yourself into situations that will, you know, that are dangerous. And the pasuk clearly tells you he was alone, right? Vayivater levado, that's when, you know, you're the most vulnerable when you're all by yourself. We'll see why else he was vulnerable in another minute.
But it's also a very bold statement saying with Tishay and Poshtinia, they and Begezel.
Right. In other words, suggesting, right? It's a very presumptuous thing that only tzaddikim, you know, don't steal, but other people steal. Also, pushtimi dehem begezel is a strain. I think it means like they try to keep far away from anything, even smells of gezel, you know, like things that maybe would be okay, but not really. Okay, now we get to an interesting statement that we've actually seen in Shas before. Amar bi yitzad mikan letami chacham shelo yetze yichidi balayla. Okay, that he should never go out alone. Okay, it comes up in Brachot, it comes up in Pesachim. A Talmid Chacham should never go out alone. Now, what about anybody else, right? I mean, it sounds like nobody should really go out. First of all, there seems to be more danger for a Talmid Chacham than for other people. They also connect this to a Chatan. Like, there's certain people where the Shadim are more likely to attack, okay? So you shouldn't go out at night. Night is always a time of fear. You might trip over something, it's dark, there's dangers, there's robbers out that come out at night, all these things, that's what you would assume. However, the Rambam says there's a different reason why Talmid Chacham Eino Yotzei Yechidi Balayla. I seem to remember teaching this a while ago. So what does he say? He says in Hilchot Perek Hey Halacha Tet, he says, V'chein lo yetzei yechidi balayla, Ela im ken hayalov zman kavua latzepo l'talmudo, unless it was his usual time that he went every single night to go learn, which seems strange. If you're going to go learn, I mean, either you could say the protection of learning, right, will protect him from the evil spirits or any dangers that might come his way. But still, it seems odd. If the whole concern is dangers, so now he gives a different reason. Kol elu mipnei chashad. What's the issue? Talmid Chacham goes out late at night, it looks like he's sleeping around with someone, and people will suspect him, and that will be, you know, bad that people will start suspecting Talmidei Chachamim. So he adds a different thing, which doesn't come up in the Gemara at all, but that's the reason. I mean, again, the Gemara doesn't really say why. It sounds like it's danger, but it could be it's also that you're going to look like you're involved in suspicious activity. Rabbi Amar Bar Kahana Amar Mehacha. Okay, so now we're going to have several proofs for how do you know it's Talmid Chacham Lo Yetzei Yechidi Balayla. So the first is, I didn't really focus on explaining this, so I'm going back now. Vayavek ishimo ad alot hashachar. Now, from this source, what do you see? The fight happened all at night. Once the sun started to rise, that was the end of the fight. Okay, we'll see another reason why the fight ended at that moment, another totally different, crazy reason. But right now, it sounds like at night, that's when he fought with the angel, and therefore, what do you see? It's clearly obvious, right? And this is why it seems more obvious, not the Rambam's explanation, at least from this source, that don't go out at night because look what's going to happen to you. All the other sources are going to be actually people who did it preventatively, okay? Not that something happened to them, but they didn't go out at night, and it's obvious from the psukim that they didn't, and right, some are going to be that they were out during the day already and stayed there at night so that they wouldn't have to go home at night, or they specifically started their journey in the morning, obviously not at night, because right, they did it in the morning, not at night. Okay, so we'll start with those, and then we'll see some others. Rabbi Amar Bar Kahana Amar Mehacha. Hinehu zoreh et goren hasorim. This is Boaz, right? Naomi tells Root, he's going, right, he's Zored, Goren HaSorim, you know, in the evening, and therefore, he's obviously going to stay there and sleep. How'd you know he was going to sleep there? Because he's obviously not going to walk home at night, because Talmidei Chachamim don't go home at night. By the way, before we even read all these sources, I want to point out that there's four or five sources. The last source, it's not clear whether it's a source for this or it's already the start of the next sugya. There's a debate about it. So there's either four or five sources. All of these sources are pivotal moments in history, right? If you think about it. So we have Yaakov fighting with the angel, right? And then he becomes Yisrael at that point. We have Boaz and Ruth, which basically leads to the birth of David HaMelech. We have Rabbi Avahu Amar Mehacha, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, Vayechvosh, right? In other words, then he goes out to the Vayechvosh HaChamoro, and he Vayikach et Shnei Naravito. And Yitzchak Beno, right? He goes on his journey. When does he go? In the morning. Of course, he doesn't go at night because it's dangerous to go at night. Not because of you want to get a good night's sleep, but because it's dangerous. Now here, right? So that's why I said there's two different approaches here. One is he was already out during the day and therefore didn't go home that night. That's maybe a better proof than just that he woke up in the morning and set out on his journey in the morning. The other chidush of Avraham is that he was with other people. This whole source is shelo yitzei yechidi balayla. This is showing Avram didn't even go out with other people at night. So for sure you shouldn't go out by yourself. Here's another one. Lech na re'e et shlom achecha ve'et shlom I forget what the Rebbe, Shlom Hatzon, Vashiveni Davar, Yaakov sending out Yosef. Now, this is a strange proof, because he sends him out. Now, first of all, where's the proof in this that he went during the day? Lech re'eh, go see. Remember, in those days, you couldn't see at night. So if you want to see your brothers, he obviously sent him during the day. And obviously, this didn't end very well, so it's a bit of an odd proof, because maybe at least Yaakov had good intentions, but, you know, he obviously got attacked. Not by the dangers that we would have expected, but by his brothers. Rav Amar Mehacha, and this is the debate, whether this is actually another proof or this is already something else. Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. Okay, now we're going to have a whole long drasha about this. Again, whether this is a further proof of lo yitzeichidi balayla. It's strange because it's from the same story, so we kind of already proved it from our story, but maybe it's another proof or maybe it's just adding something different. So it says, right, it's a very strange term. This is at the end of the story. So what does it say, right, with Yaakov and the angel? That's a very strange thing, right? The sun rose for him, right? Kind of, if you translate it loosely, you'd say the sun rose on him. In other words, the sun rose at that point, you know, he was in it, right? But it seems strange. Amar Rabbi Akiva, there's a cute thing. Sha'alti et Rabban Gamliel ve'et Rabbi Yoshua be'itliz shel imaum shalchu, which is a place that they say is near modern day Latrun. Okay, so he asked Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, who were in the butcher shop in Imum, shalchu likach behemah lemishteh benosho Rabban Gamliel. They were going shopping, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabban Gamliel. Nice to see them going together right after the whole fight with them. They were going together to buy food for the wedding feast of Rabban Gamliel's son. And while they were in the Itzlis, Rabbi Akiva asked them a whole bunch of questions, and this is one of them. This comes up in another sugya with all the list of questions. And this is one of them. K'tiv. Right, it's cute how like the rabbi is sitting in the butcher shop talking Torah. Vayizrach lo ha-shemesh. V'chi shemesh lo levad zarcha. What? It's rose on for him. Halo l'chol olam zarcha. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shemesh haba ba'avuro, zarcha ba'avuro. It was the Shemesh that once set for him, now it rose for him. Now, what's the sun setting for him? Where did that happen? And here's where we connect this story to the story of the Malachim, Olim v'Yordim Basula. So it says there, Vayetze Yaakov mi'Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. So it says he went to Haran. And then a minute later it says, Uktiv, Vayivga ba'makom, Vayalan Sham, right? And then what's that place? That's Beit El. So how could he have gone to Haran and then been back in Beit El? Something doesn't make sense there. Ki mata l'Haran, so here it comes in the Midrash. When he got to Haran, Amar, Efshar avarti al-makom shitpalalu avotai v'anilo itpalalti? Could it be on my way when he gets there, he realizes, oh my God, I think I passed this amazing place that my father's davened and I didn't daven there? Kadyav dati l'mehadar, so when he set his mind that he was going to go back and daven there, kaftzala ara. That's it, this term, right? The ground kind of jumped, made a big jump for him, meaning he all of a sudden found himself back in Beit El. Miad vayafga b'makom. Okay, so immediately then, he goes and he davens there. Kadzale by lemeadar. So once he finished davening, he wanted to get back on his way to Haran. Amar kadosh baruch hu. Tzadik ze ba lebeit miloni v'yipater b'lo lina. God says, how could a tzadik come to my makom lina, my resting place, my hotel, so to speak, and my lodging, and he's going to leave without sleeping there? Miyah ba hashemesh. So God made the sun set immediately. Okay, and that's why it says, right, where's the pasuk? Vayifka makom vayalan sham ki ba hashemesh. Notice, right, I don't know if you pay attention to that term in that pasuk, but it says, because the sun set. So what do you say? Oh, the sun set for him. So now what happened? So the sun set for him, and one second, does it? Yeah, that's the end. So the sun set there early. This was now bringing the sun, making the sun rise earlier. It was like a catch-up, right? In other words, he had made the sun set early for him, so now he made the sun rise early for him. It was the
sun eclipse.
Equaling, right, exactly. It was kind of balancing out the you know, I was thinking of the, like the time change, you know. It was kind of correcting, right? We kind of move it back and then move it forward, right? It's the correction, okay? Okay, now that we're on the story, okay, so now, again, let's go back. This could prove that by Yizrach lo Hashemesh, in order to enable him to go on his way, because otherwise he couldn't have gone on his way if it was still nighttime. So that's why it, those who say this is a proof. Other people say, no, we already proved it from that story, because Vayavik Yishmo ala Rolot HaShachar, and then this would, you know, this would... By the way, it's interesting. If you, the weakness of this proof is that the whole proof is that he waited for the morning to get on his way to avoid danger, but he was in danger the entire night. So it doesn't really jive so well with the story. You know, he was already in danger. You know, he was trying to get out of danger here. So, okay. Now we're going to deal with this story. This is the very famous, we all know this, right? He took from the avanim of the place. Uktiv vayikach et even. And then after it says, and he took the Evan. What happened to the Avnei HaMakom? How they, all of a sudden now it's just one Evan. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak melamed shenitkabtzu kol otam avanim lemakom echad. Right? The, all the avanim were together in one place. V'kol echad v'echad omeret, alay aniach tzadik zerosho. Right? Everyone was fighting. I want to be the one who's his pillow. V'kutana v'kulam nivlu be'echad. And they all got swallowed up as one. I want to ask you before I explain. Does this look like, is this a positive thing or a negative thing? Right, when you've always heard this, what do you think of? It was positive they all came to one, or it was negative?
Positive, but you can see the other side.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Like when your kids are quarreling, you just want to just do anything to make them stop.
Right, so there's a debate here about whether this is a positive or a negative. Positive, first of all, there's the reason I think we think it's positive is because there's some midrash that says that the 12 stone, there were 12 stones, and it was connected to the 12 shvatim, and they all came into one, and
or
it's this image of the shvatim joining together. And they all want the mitzvah. It sounds very much that it's the same type of midrash as Har Sinai, right? Where they all the mountains are vying for Matan Torah, except for Har Sinai, who's very enough. But which shows also that the fighting for this kind of thing is not a positive thing. And here, it's actually taking away their individuality, right? In other words, it's going to be none of you, really. It's, you're all going to be one blob, and you're going to lose your individuality. And it looks to me like it's, I think reading it here, it seems like it's a negative thing. Vayachalom v'hineh sulam mutzav arza. So now he has a dream, and there's a sulam going right front, standing on the ground, going up to the shamayim. Tana kama rachbos shel sulam. Okay, what's the okay? If we talk about Guzman yesterday's daf, here also, what was the width of the sulam?
All the questions you would ask in this story.
Yeah, shmonat alafim parsaot. Okay, it was 8,000 parsaot. Dichtiv v'hineh malachim olim v'yordim bo. Olim shnayim v'yordim shnayim. Right, olim v'yordim means two were going up, two were going down. B'chipagu b'hadei adah nehavalu arba. And at some point, they all might have ended up on the same rung, and then you have four. Uktiv be b'malach uzviyato kitarshish, which is either the Yam Tarshish or the city Tarshish. Ukamiri de Tarshish treafe parsehavu, 2,000 parsaot. So times that by four, you get to 8,000 parsaot, which comes out to 64 million amot, which is either 30,720 kilometers or 36,864 kilometers. That's pretty big. Okay, obviously this is Guzman. Tana olim biyordim, olim umistaklim b'diyukno shamala, biyordim umistaklim b'diyukno shamata. What does that mean? They would go up and they would see Yaakov's image in the heavens, and then they would go down and see Yaakov's image in the ground. They realized, wow, this Yaakov is very powerful. They were a little bit jealous. Ba'al the sikune, if they wanted to endanger him because they were jealous of his power. Miyad, this is another one of those stories of the angels versus the men. Miyad b'hineh Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem protected him. Amar b'shima ben Lakish, il male mikra katuv, if shalom ro. If the pasuk hadn't said this, we never would have said this, because it's kadama minifal b'no. It's like a person fanning his son to cool him down. Right? How could you say this about God to Yaakov? Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleh. So now God promises him the aretz that he's sleeping on. My ribute. Why does it say that? First of all, he was already promised Eretz Yisrael, and why specifically the place you're lying on is very small. Amar bi Yitzchak melamed shekipla HaKadosh Baruch Hu lechol Eretz Yisrael v'yinicha tachat Yaakov Avinu shetehei nocha lichabesh lebanav. He basically folded up the entire everything and it went under Yaakov, right? An interesting image. Okay, back to the story now. Vayomer shalcheni ki ala hashachar. Okay, send me off, right? This is what the angel says. Send me off because the sun has risen. Marlo ganavata okubiyustusata shemikarei min hashachar. What are you, a thief? Are you okay, here there's a debate. Is it a kidnapper or is it a misachik b'kubiya, a gambler? Which, by the way, shows the connection. We saw it in there's a machlok. It is gambling like stealing or not. Asmachta and all that in Sanhedrin. So anyway, are you that you're scared? And what's the problem with the gambler? People are coming for you to pay up. You owe money probably. Are you scared that people are going to find you? Amar lo, he says to him, no. Malach ani, I'm a malach. Umiyom shenivreti lo yiyaz mani lomar shira ad achshav. Every day, someone's supposed to say Shira, and today's my turn. And if I don't get back to the heavens, I won't be able to sing Shira. Like, of all days, this was his day. This is, by the way, this shows a different explanation why this ended in the morning. Not because he couldn't write, because dangerous at night. It's because the malach had things to do in the morning. He had to go say Shira. This is what goes on in the heavens. Echad omer et kadosh, v'echad omer et kadosh, v'echad omer et kadosh Hashem tzvaot. Okay? So there you have it. The malachim say Shira every day, but they take turns as to who gets to say Shira. And soon we're going to compare it to man, but first we're going to say Meitivei. Chavivin Yisrael efnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoter mimalachei Hashemet. Okay? Now we're going to bring a contradiction, but within this source, what do we see? That the Jews are, right, B'nai Yisrael are better than the Malachim. This goes back to what we were just saying a minute ago about the Malach fighting. Yisrael omrim shira b'kol sha'ah. U'malachei ha'sharet ein omrim shira ela pam achat b'yom. Ve'amr la pam achat b'shabbat, that means b'shavua. Ve'amr la pam achat b'chodesh. Ve'amr la pam achat b'shana. Ve'amr la pam achat b'shavua. Shavua is 7-year cycle. Ve'amr la pam achat b'yovel. Ve'amr la pam achat b'olam. V'Yisrael mazkirim et Hashem achrei Shtei tevot, sh'ne'amar shmai, another difference. Yisrael say Shem Hashem after two tevot, sh'ne'amar shmai Yisrael Hashem. They get to say two words and say Shem Hashem. U'malachei ha'sharet, ein maskirim et Hashem, ela lachar shlosha tevot. What is that? Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Then they could say Shem Hashem. Yitachtiv. Kadosh, kadosh, Hashem, tzvaot. Ve'ein, malachei ha'sharet, omrim shira lamala, ad shemu Yisrael lamata. And not only that, but they can only say it once we start. Biran Yachad Kochvei Boker, Bahadra Vayariu Kobane Elohim. Okay, Biran Yachad is the Kochvei Boker, and then, right after we do it, then Vayariu Kobane Elohim. So therefore, what do you see here? How could one say Kadosh? One say Kadosh, and one say Kadosh Hashem Tzvaot. The second one is saying Kadosh, and then Hashem. So the answer, El Achat Omeret Kadosh, Vachat Omeret Kadosh Kadosh, Vachat Omeret Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvaot. Now, last question, Vayika Baruch, Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo, there also. Right, Baruch Kvod, two words, and then Hashem. So one answer is Baruch Ofanim Hu Da'am Relay. There's a difference between the Ofanim and the Malachim. The Ofanim are on a higher level. They can say it. And Ema Kevand Ityav Rishuta Ityav. Once they already said Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvaot, they already now have the koch to say Hashem Hashem. So therefore, after Baruch Kvod, they can already say it after two words because they already can say Hashem Hashem. Okay, so there we have this debate between the Malachim, like who's stronger, who has more. You know, who's closer to God? And this is the way of man saying we're actually, right, we have certain zchuyot more than angels, which connects with the whole fight with the malach, and Yaakov comes out, you know, again, smitten but victorious. Okay.